With Laura Fox.
Podcast. Now, summertime and the living is easy, or is it the weather? It could probably be a little bit better, to be fair, but it is summer blockbuster season in Ireland. And with me now to give us a guide to what's out and what's coming next in the cinema is arts journalist Chris Wasser. How are you, Chris?
Hey, Valona, how are you getting on?
I'm great. I'm really, really good. And hopefully going to be a hell of a lot better after speaking to you. You've got lots of information for us. How we're going to keep ourselves entertained with this awful weather.
Yeah.
Not great. Not great out there.
No. Perfect weather for cinema, though.
Perfect weather for the cinema. So what does a blockbuster mean to you? Are we talking like giant explosions, superheroes? What is a blockbuster?
I think in recent years, we have come to associate blockbusters with just superheroes and giant explosions and Robert Downey Jr. saving the world. But to me, it's just pure popularity. It's something that was produced for, you know, mass market consumption. It's a film that's released during the summer months. And actually, the blockbuster season now begins earlier every year. So it's usually around the end of March to start of April that we see these 100, 150 million, 200 million major studio productions going into cinemas. But I don't think it necessarily means that it has to be this dumbed down action explosions, you know, cheesy one-liners. Look at something like Oppenheimer released last year. If you break Oppenheimer down, it's an historical drama, quite a talky one at that. And it's all about, you know, there's an awful lot of melodrama in there, there's an awful lot of science. It's just acting. It's something for award season, and yet that was one of the biggest blockbusters of the year. Even Barbie, there's no explosions in Barbie. Barbie's an expensive pantomime of a film, you know, a funny one and quite a good one. But that again was one of the biggest blockbusters. So I don't think it just has to be car flips and explosions and saving the world.
Absolutely. So let's start with a few of the current ones, because we're kind of already, as you said, we're kind of already in the middle of blockbuster season. So Mad Max movie, has it gotten bums on seats?
No.
Oh.
And this is one of my favorite films of the year, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. And I actually think it's better than the one before, Fury Road, and that was nominated for a bunch of Oscars. That was very successful at the box office. Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron were in it. Furiosa, despite the fact that it was just marketed, it was everywhere. Like, and George Miller and the cast, Chris Hemsworth and Anya Taylor-Joy, they were everywhere marketing it. Audiences just weren't interested, and it made very little money out the gate. And this is the problem: it made 68 million, I think, worldwide out the gate, and it cost about 165 million to make, 230 million to make and market.
Wow!
So that is not a good start for it. And unfortunately, because I think we've become so used to Marvel films making so much money, and a lot of them making more than $1 billion at the box office, if you don't have a successful opening weekend, what you're seeing now, you see this with Furiosa, you saw this with The Fall Guy, they're all going to streaming within 2 weeks or video on demand, rent. Basically, not just a streaming service, it'll still cost. And they're all being taken out of cinemas. So there were stories last week of how Furiosa was pulled from 880 cinemas in America. That's not good. So films aren't being given a chance, which is a shame, because it is one of the best I've seen this year.
Because I think sometimes it takes a little bit of word of mouth, doesn't it, with movies? Kind of old school, I know, but sometimes it does take a little bit of time.
Yeah, look at Anyone But You, a romantic comedy with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell, which was released very quietly last Christmas.
Yes.
And then over 2 months made 220 million at the box office. This is a romantic comedy that cost nothing to make, that had no huge marketing. It wasn't screened for critics. There was no buzz behind it. And yet word of mouth, you know, and also I think Instagram and TikTok helped. There were some funny scenes in the film, and I think the soundtrack helped. But word of mouth works. Give a film time.
And soundtrack.
Yeah,
really important. When you have a few little throwback tunes in there, it just takes off. Now, you mentioned there Furiosa, the Mad Max movie, obviously didn't get bums on seats, but Hollywood, they do love a sequel. And they also love a comeback story. So how is Will Smith's career comeback in a sequel coming along?
Yeah, I think we've all forgotten about the slap. I think it's
just about, we're all still talking about it though, every time we mention Will Smith.
It's just going to come up every time in a Will Smith conversation. He is doing very well, and Bad Boys 4, Bad Boys Ride or Die, is doing very well too. 100 million in its opening weekend, which is great for a Bad Boys sequel. I don't think audiences went to see it because, oh, it's a Will Smith movie. I think they went to see it because it's a Bad Boys movie, and they know what they're getting. There's a little bit of comfort watch there's not many kind of, you know, R-rated or just there's not many action films for adults in cinemas at the moment, so it's no surprise that something like that, which is a safe brand and you know what you're getting, that made an awful lot of money. I think it's nice to see, and it did revive the season a little bit, because especially in America, the box office this summer has just been dismal for whatever reason. I don't know why.
So it got people back in the cinema doors.
It did, but I don't know how much of that has to do just with Will Smith. What I think the real test for Will Smith going forward will be if he releases an original film.
If we see
him in something like an original drama or an original sci-fi, he used to do so many of those. That will be a real test for his popularity.
I love Will Smith when he's just being funny. You know, when he's in a comedy kind of a film, like that role, it just suits him so well, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, yeah. And he's just as charismatic as he used to be. He's still quite a likable movie star, despite everything that went down there.
Yeah.
I know that's a controversial thing to say, but I do believe he has been given his punishment. He's not allowed near the Academy for 10 years. That's his punishment. I think he should be maybe given an opportunity to move on now and make something original. I'd like to actually see him do something.
Yeah, listen, I know I'm not into this cancel culture. It's like people make mistakes. You know, everyone makes mistakes. Some people just make their mistake on a much bigger stage than other people.
That's true.
Okay, so moving on. One more that's in the cinemas now. The Fall Guy. So, which most listeners, they might actually be too young to remember that it was a TV show. So what's your take on this one?
I thought it was fine.
I haven't seen it.
It's loosely inspired by a Lee Majors TV show from the 1980s, which was about a stuntman who also happened to moonlight as a real kind of you know, he was actually a bit of an action man in real life, and he was called upon to solve all these cases that he probably wasn't qualified for. And in the film, you have Ryan Gosling playing this stuntman, Colt Seavers, who used to be the best in the business, but a nasty accident sort of derails his career. And eventually he makes a comeback, and he actually starts working on a film that's directed by his ex-girlfriend, played by Emily Blunt. And for reasons that I won't go into because we don't have all morning, he ends up in this, you know, he ends up on a bit of save the leading man of the film mission, because the leading man goes missing. And for some reason, they think this guy is like a real life James Bond. We'll send him out. It sounds a little bit complicated. It's not really. It is quite funny. It's actually at times it works better as a screwball romantic comedy than it does as an action film. I quite like the chemistry and the playfulness between Ryan Gosling and between Emily Blunt. Unfortunately, though, it cost far too much money to make.
Right.
So it's that thing again where it costs 150 million to make and an additional 50, 60 million to market. That's too much money on these things.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't make something like 300 million, if it doesn't break even, it's deemed a disappointment, which is a shame. Mm. So it's still in cinemas. I will say it's nowhere near as good as it thinks it is, but do go see it if you get a chance.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Ryan Gosling, probably for different reasons than you. So let's move on now. Speaking of Ryan Gosling, last year we had Barbie and we had Oppenheimer. Yeah. Ryan Gosling, of course, was in Barbie. I mean, is there anything on that scale kind of coming down the pipeline?
I don't think so. I think the Barbenheimer phenomenon was like this once in a generation.
Barbenheimer. Love it.
I think that was like a once in a generation pop culture phenomenon, and it was years in the making.
Ask you for 1 second?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you dress up in the Barbie gear for the premiere?
I didn't. No.
Oh, for
I
goodness
was
sake!
I remember.
Chris!
Do you remember the confetti, the explosions of the premiere? Yeah, actually, that quite annoyed me at first, but the film eventually ended up.
You should have got yourself a nice little pink cowboy hat.
I think there was one in the goodie bag, but I didn't put it on.
For God's sake, Chris.
But something like that was years in the making. It wasn't just a case of like, oh, these two films, like a few weeks beforehand. Oh, these two films are coming out on the same day. Let's go see them. That was. You know, that goes back to Chris Nolan falling out with Warner. And
oh,
then Warner
this
saying,
was done on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Warner said they were going to put out Barbie the same day as a Chris Nolan film. And they knew that that was a major competition.
Love the drama.
And then you had the entertainment writers kind of stirring up a bit of drama. It was, I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again, unfortunately, because it was a huge boost for cinemas.
Marketing at its best. Love that. Fantastic. Okay, the Marvel movie era, it seems to be winding down. So
it does.
How did that change the whole blockbuster thing?
It created unrealistic expectations at the box office. If one Marvel film made $1 billion, then they all had to. Mm. And then if you didn't, you were, again, as I said, you were seen as a failure. Everything just became too episodic. And also you had, you know, other studios kind of saying, oh, let's create our own cinematic universe. That's not. That again, a lot of thought went into that. You can't rush these things. Other studios tried to rush it. Look at what DC and Warner did. They had a disastrous time with the Superman and Batman films. It scared off original blockbusters, I think. And I think the worst thing about those films, and I do quite like a lot of them, I just think the culture around them, and it created this like ghastly, toxic criticism culture where you know, you're not allowed to say everything's either amazing or it's bad. There's no nuance. And you're not allowed to say anything, you know, bad about, you know, certain superheroes or actors, because, you know, the internet will come after you. I think it kind of poisoned things a little bit. And as I said, I think the biggest thing is just they created unrealistic expectations at the box office, and now we're starting to see films that should be deemed a success are called a failure, and that's a pity.
And you've actually mentioned as well that things kind of get taken out of the cinema, they get put straight onto the streaming sites. So, I mean, streamers, they've kind of changed things, haven't they? So have we noticed that audience numbers have decreased because they kind of just get taken out of the cinema and put straight onto streamers?
They do. I'm so disappointed every time a family member or a friend asks me when something's going to be on Netflix, when the film has just been released released in cinemas. It's like, yeah, go to the cinema.
So, I mean, a blockbuster movie, it's a bigger risk now.
It is, yeah, yeah. But even the smaller ones, studios see as a big risk. I mean, Richard Linklater, who made the Boyhood film, School of Rock, all the Before films, wonderful filmmaker. He has a new film at the moment called Hitman. And I don't know what it, you know, it cost a few million to make, but it's a very small film. Glenn Powell's in it. It's very good. It's very funny. It's this it's quite sexy too. Glenn Powell is quite, you know, the man of the moment. And you think that a film like that, because I mentioned Anyone But You, that did very well in cinemas. You think that would do well in cinemas. Instead, he sold it to Netflix for like 20 odd million because he knew people might not show up for this.
Okay.
So there's no chance being taken, even on a film that is a certified hit, and it is. That is one of the best reviewed films of the year. It's number one on Netflix films at the moment. And it should be in cinemas. Yeah. It looks amazing. It's very well acted. I wish it just wasn't dumped on streaming.
And that's the thing. Sometimes you really do need to see movies on the big screen. Oh, yeah. They're made for the big screen, and you need to see them there. Now, obviously, there's loads of movies to look forward to. We're also looking forward to Gladiator 2. Now, that's not due out for later on, until later on this year.
November.
Yeah, yeah. But we're very excited.
We are, because, you know, we've got, you know, Mr. Ballyhawn, Paul Mescal.
He can do no wrong.
He can do no wrong. I think Paul Mescal is a terrific actor. He's in one of the best, my favorite films of the year, All of Us Strangers. He's not bankable. He has no bankability when it comes to movie stars. So this is his first real blockbuster test.
Okay.
And I think it's a big one. You know, look, Ridley Scott has spent $300 million on this Gladiator sequel that, let's remember, nobody asked for.
Okay.
It's got an amazing cast. Denzel Washington's in there, Pedro Pascal. You've got Connie Nielsen from the original. We saw some photographs on the set this week of Paul Mescal in the full Gladiator
in the
getup.
Gear.
He looked well.
Deadly.
He looked very well.
He always looks well, in fairness to him.
He does, yeah. He does. I am rooting for this film.
Me too.
I really want it to be good.
Yeah.
But it's going to need to make a fortune if they spend $300 million.
I think it will, though.
You think so?
I really do. Okay. Everyone loved the first one. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I actually rewatched it in preparation for this.
Okay.
I did, yeah. So I can't wait for it. I'm really looking forward to it. Wonderful. There's lots to look forward to in the cinema.
There is, yeah, yeah. We've got, I think the big one that I'm quite looking forward to at the minute, and hopefully it doesn't spoil things, it's coming in a few weeks, is A Quiet Place Day One.
Okay.
Which goes back and explains what happens, you know, how the aliens took over the world in the John Krasinski horror films. So that for me is the blockbuster that I'm really looking forward to. And I'm also quite curious about this new Kevin Costner Western, Horizon.
Okay.
An American saga. 3 hours long. The first chapter is released in June and the second chapter is released in August. Nobody does that. Nobody does that in cinemas. But Kevin Costner, for some reason, has decided to write in and say, I'm going to save cinemas. I'm interested to see if he can.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah.
Chris, thank you so much for joining
us.
You're so good. You made me very excited about movies and what's to come. And where can people follow you?
People can follow me on Twitter if they want, at Chris Potter, or they can read my reviews on the Sunday Independent. There you go.
Exactly. Okay, lovely. Thank you so much for coming in. And yeah, we're looking forward to our blockbuster summer. Thanks a million.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.